day that's way away. Rabbi Yeshua Posen.
Morning. This week's parsha begins. Va'atzo tzaves bnei Yisrael v'yichu eilecho shemen zayizoch kos islam or lehalis ne tzomit. Rishonim asked, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says v'yichu eilecho, you should take for yourself this shemen zayizoch, which is going to be used for the ne tzomit. Going to use the ne. Going to use the menorah. And Ramban explains that the reason why it says Eilecha is because Moshe Rabbeinu was meant to check the oil that was taka kosis lama'or. Different shonim give different explanations. Chaim Shmulevitz explains with the famous Medrash in Baal Yischa, where the Apostle tells us in Baal Yischa, First Rashi in Baal Yischa, Lomon Yisrucha Parshus HaMenorah LeParshus HaNesim, Nefishek Shira, Aaron HaChanukas HaNesim, Chol Sha'oz Date, when Aaron saw the fact that the Nesim were able to bring what they were able to bring, and he wasn't able to participate, he was upset. Shlohoye Moim B'Chanukah, that he wasn't able to participate, Lohuv, Lohishrote, not him, not Shevet Levi, famous Rashi. Aaron, Akon, you don't need to worry because your lot is better than theirs because you'll be able to be madlik and meitiv es haneris. Chaim Shlevitz asks, this explains why Aaron was placated, but what's with Moshe Rabbeinu? Why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu upset that he wasn't able to do what the Nesim were able to do? So, Reb Chaim explains with a medrash on a pasuk in Tehillim, which we're all familiar with, in Kapitel Kuf Lamed Gimel, She'amalas the David, Hinei Matoiv Manoim, Sheves Achim Gam Yochad, Kashemen Hatoiv Al Aroi, She'yered Al Azokon, Zekan Aaron, She'yered Al Pimidosov. So the medrash asks that the pasuk has a word which seems to be superfluous. The pasuk says, Kashemen hatoiv al arosh, yorid al azokon, zikan aron. There's an extra word, zokin. The pasuk should have said, Kashemen hatoiv al arosh, yorid al zikan aron. What's al azokin zikan aron? So Medrash explains that when the shemen fell on the beard of Aaron HaKohen, Moshe Rabbeinu was so much besimcha with his brother Aaron, was so excited for his brother Aaron that he was able to be in such a position, to be able to participate in such a mitzvah, that as the oil fell on the Zakan Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu felt as if the oil was falling on his Zokin. So when the Pasuk says the word Zokin twice, once he's speaking about Aaron and once he's speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. In which case, says Chaim Shmulevitz, it's beautiful, the Pasuk before, Hinei Matoiv Manoim Sheves Achim Gam Yochad, that when brothers feel in such a special way towards each other, that one person's simcha is not just something that is mesameach a second one, but it's something that you feel as your very own simcha, then that's the madriga which is takahini matoyvon umanoim. Apostle tells us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was encouraging him to take on the position of going to speak to Paro. And Moshe Rabbeinu was reluctant. And Moshe Rabbeinu was reluctant because he was worried about how Aaron would look at it, how Aaron would feel if his younger brother was given this shtela. And the pasuk says, Vayicha af Hashem. There's a famous Rashi here. Rashi tells us, Vayicha af, Rishur ben Korcho Imeh, Kol Charin Af Shabbatera Oyser Roshim. Whenever we find in the Torah the words Charin Af, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, then there's ramifications for causing that anger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, Vezeh Lo Nema Bay Roshim, here Moshe Rabbeinu was reluctant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept pushing him, he kept withholding and delaying, and eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol, so to speak, lost his cool, ilu. That's the the lashon, the way the pasuk seems, Vayichav, he said, it's enough, and he got angry. Says Rashi, says Rashi ben Korcho, whenever we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu getting angry in such a situation, there's a ramification, there's a cost, and here we don't seem to find the cost. No, here as well there's a ramification, there's a price to pay. Aaron Achicha was meant to be a Levi. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, were meant to be the Kohanim, were meant to come from you, but because you have kept not listening to my instructions, it will be taken away from you. So Rashi tells us, there's a machlekes, Samaroyim, whether Moshe Rabbeinu, because he didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu straight away, because he was reluctant to go, did he pay a price? Did he pay a price? On the one hand, the Pasuk doesn't seem to tell us a price. On the other hand, we find that Shevet, that the Kohanim in Klal Yisrael came from Aaron instead of from Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, with the medrash we had before, this is beautiful. Elu ve'elu divulikim chaim. They're both correct. It's correct that Moshe Rabbeinu paid a price from the point of view that the kahuna that was meant to come to him was taken away and given to Aaron HaKohen. But he didn't pay a price. Because for Moshe Rabbeinu to see his brother Aaron HaKohen have the kahuna, that was his kuna, his simcha for his brother to have this shtela, meant it didn't in any way impact him. So they're both correct. We don't find that he suffered, but there is a consequence.
The master's children did not become Aaron.
Correct.
They did suffer.
Right?
I'll explain that.
Reb Chaim says that this is how maybe we can put the two together. Yeah. And Reb Chaim goes further and says, we find the same thing when it comes to Aaron HaKohen. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is discussing with Moshe Rabbeinu why he doesn't need to worry, says, V'rachav samach b'liboy. When Aaron sees you, Moshe, being the man of Klal Yisrael, he'll be samach b'liboy. And then Yalka explains, samach b'liboy, b'liboy yoysem b'piv. This simcha which Aaron's going to feel in his heart is a higher madriga of simcha when a person expresses simcha. So the Pasuk tells us, Masato al-Cheshen ha-Mishvot es-Aurim ves-Atzumim v'hoyu al-Lev Aaron. Amar Shimon ben Chai, ha-Lev she-Sameach b'gdulas echov yilbash urim v'tumim. This heart which rejoices in the fact that your brother's getting this position, the fact that you forgive him, the fact that you don't just forgive him, you are excited for him, that you genuinely feel a simcha for what's happening to him, that is the lay which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to put on it, the Urim Putumim. Why? So Chaim explains, we find a famous story in Nach, where Eli HaKohen saw Chana murmuring quietly at that stage. Klal Yisrael hadn't really davened quietly. Everyone davened out loud. And he saw her and he was worried, what's the story here? And he asked Urim Batumim, and famously the letters came up and he jumbled the letters to spell out Shekira. When in fact the real way of reading the letters was Kshera. Says Ruchayim Shulevitz, it's not enough to wear the Urim Batumim and have the letters light up if you don't have a lathe which doesn't just empathize with Klal Yisrael, but understands Klal Yisrael to such a level that it's posher to you. All you need are the letters to come up, and you'll know the right way to interpret it, because you know their issues are your issues, and their simcha is your simcha. When Aaron HaKohen could bring himself that madriga with Samach B'Liboy, then Aaron HaKohen was the right person in Klal Yisrael to wear the Urim B'Tumim. It's not pshat, it's a schar. Because you had the simcha for Moshe Rabbeinu, you merit to have the Urim B'Tumim. Because you have the simcha for Moshe Rabbeinu, but you're the right man to wear the Urim B'Tumim, because you will understand the Urim B'Tumim. You'll be able to interpret it correctly for the benefits of Klal Yisrael. We live in a generation where it's never been easier to do chesed for Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael, in certain areas, have never been more needy. We might not have the anius that Klal Yisrael has had over the Doros, but on an emotional level, we live in a generation where many people are fragile. And it can be the person sitting next to you in a shir, it can be the person sitting next to you in shul, it can be the person sitting next to you at work or in the Beis Medrash, it can even be a close family member, and you can have no idea what's going on. You can have no idea how much they need a chizuk, they need someone to actually show that they care, they need someone to actually show that they see them, and that they hear them, and they understand. They might not understand to the full extent, but they can comprehend that this person needs a chizuk. And this concept of looking out for people around us is not exclusively to people who are mamish desperate. I was thinking this morning, in davening, on the Maizah giving a shir makes you think a bit more. We say we have to emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'ahu Rachum, Afata Rachum. So we say in the second brach of Shemoneh Esrei, Soimech Noiflim, Roifei Cholim, Umatza Asurim. We speak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a Soimech Noiflim. But if we have a chiv to emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have to emulate this concept of trying to be Soimech Noiflim, Umatza Asurim, of picking people up who are falling or who have fallen or who are about to fall. And it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. It's not only people in such need, but each person we come across, with a little bit of chizuk and a little bit of direction, we can make a huge difference. I was reminded last night of a ma'aseh b'didi Hava Uvda. A number of years ago, I was looking for a shidduch for one of my children, and I had Mishpacha in Yerushalayim, who was looking out for me. And he was walking home from shul one Friday night with another younger man. And he said, you know, he's actually one of my edim, he said, my Meshur is looking for a shidduch. And this younger man said, oh, what about so-and-so? I had this boy by me Friday night, made a lovely roshim, maybe looking to so-and-so. Motzei Shabbos, my edim calls me up, he says, someone suggested this name. We looked into it, and the rest, as they say, Baruch Hashem, is history. Just before the engagement became official, I called up this younger man, and I said to him, I want to thank you for the shidduch, and please tell me where I can send money for the shidduch. So he said, ridiculous, well, shidduch, I was walking home Friday night, and Adam just said to me, can you think of anyone? I mentioned someone, I didn't. Read the shidduch, I didn't go to both sides on the shidduch. Gunish just mentioned an idea. And I had no intention of getting paid. So I said to him, but lemaisa, you have a chush. Lemaisa, you had some zach. You were moir of something which lemaisa is materializing now, Baruch Hashem. Don't underestimate that koyach that you have. And I sent him what I sent him. A few years later, I was here in Manchester. And this younger man has since moved back to Manchester. And he comes up to me. He says to me, do you remember we had that conversation there? He said, so, I said, of course. He said, you know, you got me thinking. You got me thinking, maybe Taka, I've got a koyach. He said, I just made my 8th shidduch. I met him last night, asked him where he's up to. He says, we wait for the end of Ben Azman. I said, call me end of Ben Azman. Chaim V'lozhen has a vort which is probably the vort which haunts me the most. Gemara says, Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, called by Eila, Moivin, Lefonov, Kivnei Morin, and the Gemara brings 3 different Amorim with different pshotim, what's Kivnei Morin? First man, Davon says, Kivnei Morin means Kivnei Marin, like sheep, which is the pshat we're used to. Second Madama says, Kamailis Bismorin, the steps going up to Iran. And the third Madama says, Kichayolo Yishol Bis David, like the soldiers in the army of David. Reb Chaim Volozhin explains that all three are correct. Every single one of us, when it comes to Yom HaDin, are judged in three different categories. The first way we're judged is like sheep. Shutik Mashoi counted the mitzvahs which we've done, the various chas v'shalom which we've done, and it's all there on record. The second element of the din is that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't look at us out of context. Each person has different capabilities. Each person's got different keichas. For some people, to finish Masechta isn't a challenge. For some people, to finish a daf is a huge challenge. For some people, not to speak Lashon Hara for 5 minutes takes his whole entire concentration and keich. And for some people, that's not where they have a nisoyin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just look at us on the mitzvahs and averus which we've done out of context. He looks at us and judges us on the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that we've done and chas v'shalom and averus we've done based on who we are. On what is difficult for us, what's easy for us, what takes effort, and what isn't a challenge. But then, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, is the third madriga. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just judge us on the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that we've done based on the keuches that we have. The second shot, Kamailis based more on the steps, Meron, that's Lefi the Mailis, Lefi the Krechus which we have. But when you look at an army, if Chas v'Shalom, a foot soldier is killed, then it impacts his Chevra and his unit. If a sergeant is killed, so it impacts the unit as a whole. If a major is killed, then that can impact the entire division. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, what the Gemara is telling us, as each and every one of us have a different sphere of influence. Each and every one of us have people whose lives we can touch. And on Yom HaDin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done, not just in the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim and our various chas v'shalom which we've done, and not just what we've done according to the koichos and potential that we have, but the lives that we've touched and impacted, bein l'tov and bein chas v'shalom l'ra. And that's a pachat noir. It's mamash a pachat noir because on Yom HaDin, every single one of us, chol ha'pochus in Ne'ila, can find a few minutes where we're honest with ourselves and we know deep down what we've done the last year. We can make a cheshva nefesh whether we've done things correct or not done things correct. But how can you make a cheshva nefesh on whose life you should have touched or maybe chas v'shalom, whose life you touched in a negative way? Father al-Vashalom once met a Yid abroad who told him he was in the Danish army and drafted in the Danish army time, I don't know if it was after the war, I'm not sure exactly when. And he said, in the army, how's he meant to put on tefillin? You're there in the trenches with the other soldiers all going, how are you meant to put on tefillin? And he said that he decided he's not wearing tefillin. He can't. When he has an opportunity, he can't wear tefillin there. And then he looked and saw there was another Yid who he didn't realize was a Yid. There's someone wearing tefillin. He saw underneath his neck, he's wearing tefillin. He says, oh, if he can wear tefillin, I can wear tefillin. So this Yid told my father, because of that other person, I stayed wearing tefillin, because I stayed wearing tefillin, I stayed keeping Torah mitzvahs. And he told my father the name of that person. That person, after moved back to England, actually davened in Munks. And my father went up to him and said, you know, I just was abroad, and I had this phenomenal story. This is what this Yid told me. He said, this Yid told me he's from today because of you. And the person had no idea, completely unaware. The person goes up to Shemaim and has to give a din v'cheshbon on someone who maybe he's done something faket, not in a good way, where he's impacted other people in a negative manner, he's made zichel Hashem, or mitam sheni, people who he could have been mechazik and wasn't mechazik. Imagine mitz Hashem, mishtolav arichis yomim, I go up to Shemaim, and Kodesh Baruch Hu could have said to me, what's for the 95 shidduchim that were meant to have been made? I say, what are you talking about? What? I say, remember that Yid? With a positive word, you could have turned him into the biggest shadchan in town. Just a little word, a little chizuk. It's all you had to do. You blew it. And because of that, the shidduchim weren't made. Imagine that, chayes. And this concept applies everywhere. We all know people, whoever we know, there's no such thing as people who don't gain benefit from encouragement, from validation, from feeling that you care. You know, you see someone in the morning, you say, good morning, how are you? It's a question. You're meant to pause and wait for an answer. It's not a greeting or a statement. But we don't really have time. So you say, how are you? And you hope they don't answer because we really don't have time for an answer. But sometimes if you stop and you pause and you allow them to answer, then you can show them that you actually care. Baruch Mat Ezrachi, the Tzal has a phenomenally powerful vort. And the last Rashi in Balo Yisrael, Rashi tells us that after Miriam spoke Lashon Hara, so she had Saras, and she had to wait. Says the Apostle Vatzi, still gave Miriam Mechutz Lamachane Shivas Yomim, Va'om Lo Yinosa Ati Osef Miriam. Klal Yisrael waited. Says Rashi, Om Lo Yinosa, Za'a Kovet Cholak La'amokim, B'shol Shor Achas, Sh'nis'akva L'meshek, Sh'hoylich Liyar, Sh'nema, Vatitzatzi, V'achayisim Rochik. Midah K'nere Midah, B'scha, that Miriam waited for Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was put in the crib into the Nile, so she was zeicher that Klal Yisrael waited for her for 7 days. Says the Gemara, we know that people receive a schar 500 times what they put in. So if you do the mass, 7 days, it turns out that actually it wasn't even a shor that Miriam waited by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was about 17 minutes. So she waited by the Nile for 17 minutes, and b'schar zois Klal Yisrael waited for 7 days. By the way, if you do the maths, it's actually far more than 500 times, because you had 2 million men, women, and children waiting for 7 days. Yeah? Stell sich vor. Frage Baruch Mat Ezrachi. Versteh nicht. If a sister babysits for a brother for 17 minutes, so she's zeicher to get. What's going on here? What are we missing here? So, he doesn't bring the Medrash, but if you bring the Medrash, it adds a little bit more color. The Medrash tells us that when Amram separated from Yecheved and all of Klal Yisrael followed suit, so Miriam famously went to Amram and she said, you're worse than Pari, Pari's only attacking Zechorim, as a result of your actions there'll be no Zechorim, no Nekevus. So he got back together with Yecheved, Klal Yisrael got back together, and Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So the Medrash, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the tent lit up. This is the original tent lighting up when a baby's born, not what. And at that stage, says the Medrash, Amram bent down to his daughter Miriam, and he gave a little kiss on her forehead. This was in her merit. Unfortunately, when it came to the time of having to put Moshe into a crib, into the Nile, any of you have been by a proper big river, you take a baby, put them in a crib, you might as well put them in the Nile without the crib. It's what chance do they have? So as a Medrash, Amram gave her a little tap, a little patch in the same place on her forehead, meaning this is exactly what I didn't want to happen. This is why I'd separated from Yecheved, and now I have to go through and put my child into this. And the Medrash says that they went away, but Miriam stayed. Why did Miriam stay? Miriam did not stay because she thought she's going to be able to save Moshe Rabbeinu. Miriam stayed, says Baruch Mato, because she was noisa ba'olim chaveri. Because being noisa ba'olim chaveri does not mean, and this is a very important lesson for men to learn. Women get this better than we do. Noisa ba'olim chaveri doesn't mean solving people's problems. Right? When men hear a problem, we try and find a solution. If we don't know the solution, what's the point in discussing it? What's there to talk about? Women can say over the same problem, same story, multiple times a day. Noisa ba'olim chaveri means being there for someone else. Even if there's nothing I can do other than to be there for you. I'm with you. And by the way, some people are very good at being noisa ba'olim when it comes to sorrows, but not so good with simchas. They find it harder to be with you 100% in your simcha. But noisa ba'ol means to be there with someone else in their moment of need or in anything that they require. You're there for them. says Rabbi Chamotza, that's what the Gemara is talking about. And if you think about it, then it's absolutely astounding. Because think, how many years before had Miriam been there for Moshe Rabbeinu? So why did she only get her schar now? Why did she have to wait all the way till now to get this humongous schar? You know what pshat is? The Gemara says, Arba Kurim Mace. And one of the people who's Kurim Mace is a Metzora. Why is a Metzora called Mace? Because Bodod Yoshev, you've got to go out, Chutz Lamachneh, and be there by yourself. When a person's alone, when a person feels they're by themselves and no one's there with them and no one gets it and they're by themselves, that's Kurim Mace, says the Gemara. There was no better time for Miriam to get her schar for being Noseh Ba'ol Chaveru with Moshe Rabbeinu than when she was Bodod Yoshev. Klal Yisrael can't come with her because she's a Metzora. She's got to go Chutz Lamachneh. But at least understand, all of Klal Yisrael are sitting here waiting for you to come back. We're with you. Imchon Noichi B'Tzor. You know, we have a matzah in Klal Yisrael where there are mishpachas. Now it's Yisrael. Less than there were, but still, every one of them, Rachman al-Islam, have got members of their family captive for an incredibly long amount of time. You can't comprehend the tsar that every single family member must be going through. Every single phone call that comes, Chas v'Shalom, is it going to be a Besorah Ra? Maybe it'll be a Besorah Tov. And we daven for them that they should have a Yeshua Bekorov. But here in town, there are also people who are captives. There are also people who feel alone, who feel no one knows that they exist, who feels that no one understands their tsar, who feel that they're drowning. And we may know them, and we may see them, and we may speak to them, and yet be blissfully unaware of what sorrows they're going through. And every now and then, Rachman al-Islam, there's another story. And we crash and say, oh, we didn't know they had issues, didn't know they had sorrows. It's terrible. But the Chazal say, when it comes to Egla Arufa, the Chazal have a chiv to say, Yodenu leishokhas adam hazeh. People have to be able to say with a clear conscience, there's nothing more we could have done. Says Uchaim Velozhin, we have no idea the impact that we can have on those around us and the difference that we can make. And the Sotan's biggest hatzlacha is making sure we don't understand the koach that we have. Because everyone can pick up a phone and everyone can say a nice word of encouragement. There's no limitation to what can be achieved from each and every one of us from the sphere of influence that we have around us. And the Sotan's only hatzlacha is to make us think that we shouldn't bother trying because we can't make any difference. Who are we, Bichlal? That's how he's matzliach. We live in a world of investments. Everyone wants to know what's a good investment, what will maximize the potential that I can reach with my investment. I always say time. Spend a little bit of time, a little bit of time, investing in other Eden, in other people, with a good word, with a smile. Sometimes it's only a smile. And with a little bit of effort, you can touch so many lives and you'll never know the impact that you've made. You'll never be able to comprehend what you've achieved. But the Maisa, it's imperative that every single one of us feels a chiyuv to be a chelek klal yisrael. Ahu rachum, af ato rachum, soymich neuflim. Shkoyach.
Are you here by car?
No, I'm going right back to the station. So.